Elections will come to order. It's Wednesday, March 26th. Members, in your packets, we have the minutes from the March 19th meeting. Senator Ress moves approval of the minutes. All those in favor, please say aye. Aye. Opposed. The motion prevails. Senator Marty, Senate File 2454.
Thank you, Madam Chair, members of the committee. Senate File 2454 is one of the unsessioned bills. It had a lot of provisions related to Board of Soil Water Resources, the DNR, and PCA. And there's one provision in here that affects elections, and it's in Sections 7 and 8. And this is for a process that I believe I was just told we passed last year in Senator Scalzi's bill. This is for when soil and water conservation districts, which generally follow county lines, want to merge. And in the current practice, Sibley and Nicollet County are interested in doing this, and they don't because it would require a much more complicated process, referendum in each county. And in this case, the people who care about it, who pay attention to it, the soil and water conservation districts, if they feel it's more convenient for the work they're doing to be working together, they could petition, a majority of each of them could petition Board of Water and Soil Resources. And the board would then have public hearings on it and so on. They're still elected positions, but instead of having two, they'd merge into one. And this is the process for that. And I have folks from Bowser here who can speak to it, or I can take questions or whatever. I haven't heard of any controversy related to this, and I'm hoping to have your support.
Thank you, Senator Marty. Ms. Stroman, do you want to go first? Or did you just want to answer questions?
Madam Chair, for the record, I'm Sarah Stroman. I'm the Acting Deputy Director with the Board of Water and Soil Resources. I don't have anything in particular to add to the introduction that Senator Marty gave, but I am happy to answer any questions. Also with us here is Sheila Vanney, Assistant Director with the Minnesota Association of Soil and Water Districts. They do support this bill, and she's also happy to answer any questions.
Great. Are there any questions from the committee? Senator Kiffmeyer.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Senator Marty, one of the things, in regards to this is that the previous language allowed them to separate, and it looks as though this is a policy change of only allowing consolidation, not allowing separation into two or more.
Senator Marty.
Madam Chair, I'm actually going to turn that over to my witnesses. This does allow for undoing these consolidations, and I haven't heard of any that were interested in splitting up, though we've had some split-ups in the past, apparently. So maybe you.
Ms. Vanney?
Madam Chair, members, Sheila Vanney, MESWCD Assistant Director. And, yes, we were looking for ways to streamline and make greater efficiencies. We're trying to make government simpler and more efficient. So we're not trying to make greater numbers of government boards. So like Senator Marty said, this does provide a procedure for undoing a consolidation, but really we're trying to find opportunities for sharing services and affording the SWCDs the opportunity to have staff that are more specialized in the areas of natural resources that they manage. So we're really not trying to make more government. We're trying to make less.
Sarah Kiffmeyer.
Yeah. Well, Madam Chair, I don't find this efficiency at all. I think that sharing and working together has nothing to do with voice of people, and in this particular case, you're taking away the ability for 100 resident owners to have a say in this. And I don't consider, there's sometimes where efficiency on the government side is negating the voice of the people in regards to soil and water conservation districts. So you're doing one or more districts may petition the state board for a consolidation, and you're eliminating the ability, but there's no referendum, you're taking away the referendum. And this is a touchy area. Land and water and soil and all these things are people who have land and do care a great deal and do want to have a voice in it. And so I see this as not just efficiency at all.
Madam Chair, I will point out the public still votes, still elects the members of the Soil and Water Conservation Districts. And again, I guess I think that in terms of it, when they are trying to work together, I mean, I just think of our Ramsey County one and so on, when they are trying to find out an efficient way to use their resources, I think when they can work together with others, that is an efficiency. We are keeping, again, they are still elected positions. But I understand you're coming from a different, you'd like to, do you know any that are interested in splitting up, or you're just saying you want them to have that option?
Well, exactly, Madam Chair. You know, we have a lot of things in law that are there for options, not because we have to guarantee that somebody's going to, but you provide that opportunity to do so. And I've actually, in regard to this efficiency thing, I've often said if you want a really efficient form of government, you can go to a dictatorship where you have all three branches of government in one person. It's really efficient. You just don't have a lot to say. And so there's always this balance between, and I'm very, I guard carefully statutes that take away, because I find that it's a little bit here and a little bit there, one step here and one step there, and you just inch away at removing regular citizens. And so, yes, they are elected. I think, though, the division or consolidation, it's a double thing here, not only moving it only to a consolidation, but instead of the referendum, you just have a vote of the board. So it's just where I'm coming from, Senator Marty.
Is there anyone in the audience who wishes to testify on Senate File 2454? Seeing none, Senator Rest moves that Senate File 2454 be recommended to pass and referred to the full Rules Committee. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed?
No.
The motion passes.
Thank you very much, Madam Chair and members
of the
committee.
Thank you, Senator Marty. Senate File 2782, Senator Rest. Senator Rest, I see there's a delete all being passed
yes,
around.
Yes, thank you very much, Madam Chair. Senate staff was kind enough to do that for me.
So
I believe it is the A3 amendment. Is that? I've seen a couple of versions. We've been we've been doing whoopses on this bill for a little bit of time. So
that's correct.
I believe it's the A3.
So to the A3 amendment, Senator Rest, or we can adopt it. This is the first stop.
Yes, it is, if you wouldn't mind.
All those in favor, please say aye.
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 Opposed? The motion prevails. The A3 is adopted.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I believe you have in your packets also a copy of a letter that Commissioner Opat of Kennepin County sent to Representative Winkler sometime earlier, a couple of weeks ago, reminding us, quite frankly, or bringing our attention to the fact that when we made changes in the contribution limits for ourselves and for the constitutional officers and members of the House, that we had not taken up the limits on contributions for local government officials. And the same arguments that we would use for to update the statutes to to recognize the increase in expenditures for and expenses for running a campaign for a local office, even when it is nonpartisan. Some of them are highly competitive, that it's nonpartisan on the ballot, that those statutes be updated as well. And so what Senate File 2782, now as amended, is before you. The meat of the bill is in Section 2, which increases the contribution limits to $600 from $300 in an election year and $250 from $100 in other years. Now, it is the case that in some local elections or very small cities or very small areas, but in particularly in the metropolitan area and some of the larger regional centers, there is a huge number in the electorate that candidates need to reach. So I think that Section 2 actually is pretty straightforward. Where we ran into issues and questions was how to go about responsibly reporting the all the information about local government candidates. And so there, we did a number of iterations and adding things to make sure that it could fit into the current campaign finance statutes without any undue burden here or there. So if you look at Section 1, we do require that the reports that candidates made are filed with the local government, and of course they do operate separately from the Campaign Finance Board, and that it be made on a local government website's site if indeed the local government maintains a website. And we had first had said put it on a website, but then once again the difference in the sizes of local governments, and we heard from the League of Cities folks that not all of the, particularly some of the smaller local governments, don't have a website. so we exempted them if they don't, but they need to keep the information. And then tried to be reasonable about when it should be posted and said as soon as possible if there is a website, but then 30 days after the receipt, and then to keep it for a year after the report was made available on the website. And then that the filing officer of that local government certainly provide the Campaign Finance Board with a link to its section of the website where the reports are made available, and publish on its website a link that a filing officer provides. And to make this effective for election contests that are going forward in 2014, we have an effective date for Section 1, effective the day following final enactment, and the same thing for Section 2. The Secretary of State's office has visited with me and indicated that there, if the committee and the Rules Committee acted favorably on this, that the their report that they make is done as of March 31st, but also that they really don't have a problem with this because often their brochures that they put out, at least some parts of it become obsolete the minute it's published. So they are not objecting or asking for a delay simply because it would cause an addendum or some extra sentence in the report that they usually put out on March 31st.
Senator Rest, as to the posting of the reports no later than 30 days after receipt, does that mean that the with the filing deadlines that the public would be able to see candidates' contributions and expenditures prior to them voting in the general election?
I would defer to Ms. Stengel. I think that is the impact. We're trying to get the reports available at a common site. Of course, once it is filed, anybody can go in and look at it too. I mean, it's a public document, but this is just the posting of it. But I wonder, Ms. Stengel and I have gone back and forth on this, and I wonder if she might shed more light on not making it immediate, but giving them a little bit of time. Some of these smaller governments, even if they do have a website, don't have someone who spends 40 hours a week on it. So,
Ms. Stengel.
Thank you, Madam Chair. The reports are filed at different times throughout the year, including 10 days before a special or primary election. So those reports may not be posted before the election. But the main report is done by January 31st of the year following an election, and that's when the annual report is, so that happens after the election anyhow. So some of these might make it up before an election, some might not. And as to the 30 days, I was talking with the League of Cities, and they have somebody here if you wanted to hear from them. And as Senator Russ mentioned, their concern was that some smaller cities only have somebody that works one day a week, and if the deadline was too short, they might not be able to meet that.
Mm-hmm. So it seems to me like, Senator Rest, this is probably the best we can do in terms of posting the information.
That's
and
what
my
I thought,
issue may
sure.
be more with when they're required to make their reports anyway. But that's not the scope of your bill.
Right. Madam Chair, and, 10 years from now, when every city or local jurisdiction has very sophisticated technology, no matter who they are, we might want to revisit that, but we're trying to be cognizant of the fact that not all do.
Mm-hmm. Is there anyone in the audience who wishes to testify on Senate File 2782? Discussion? Seeing none, Senator Rest moves that Senate File 2782 as amended be recommended to pass and referred to the full Rules Committee. All those in favor, please say aye.
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 Oh, I'm sorry, that was too soon. Opposed? The motion passes, and the motion passes. The motion prevails.
Thank you.
And the bill passes.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you, Senator Rest. With that committee, there's